if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast 218. This is our 2022 Horizon Irish Open plus John Deere Classic Tips podcast. Paul Williams and Barry O'Hanrahan join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss this week's DP World and PGA Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
Please subscribe to this podcast as you drive the popularity of the show. This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit begambleaware.org for more info. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world-famous golf betting system website with our in-depth betting previews, tournament strokes gained analysis, tournament form stats, form charts including combined course and current form, and our PGA Tour and DP World Tour predictive optimizers. All of these features, like this podcast, are all completely free of charge with no paywall. On Twitter, Paul is at Golf Betting. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. I am at Bamford Golf. You can join our Golf Betting System Facebook group. The link is available in the description box. Plus, look out for the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel, where I present the Golf Betting Show every week. This podcast is also located on there, so subscribe and like the shows. Now, I thought we'd do an Irish Open special here. We're in Ireland for the Irish Open. So let's have some Irish five-star reviews this week, I think. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name where you are in the review. So let's try and get some Irish five-star reviews in this week. We've got one here. It is entitled Winning Five Stars. Great content and tips. Still to the good after 10 weeks listening and keeping betting records. Keep up the great work. Thank you, guys. And that is from PMAC180, and he is in the UK.
Lovely stuff.
Let's hope he was on How Tong Lee last week, Paul. Many congratulations.
Yeah, well done.
Thank you. Yeah, fingers crossed. Hopefully PMAC was on How Tong as well. It was a bit of a roller coaster, wasn't it, over the course of the 4 days. Seemed that, well, halfway he was in a great position, save for Ryan Fox coming through and giving him a bit of a scare. Even better position at the end of third day, until he bogeyed the last, which, one of my pet hates, or the pet hate, I expect it is, of golf betting, is my players bogeying or double bogeying the final hole of a day. It just really winds me up. So to see him make a six on the final hole and take what could have been a five-shot lead into the final day down to a three-shot lead made it a little less comfortable. Back to a five-shot lead early on during the course of the final round, and then got pulled all the way back, didn't he? So he was in a tie for the lead with two or three holes to go. And then the miracle on the playoff hole. I mean, the final putt was 45, 50 feet, somewhere in that kind of bracket after making a mess of the chip. barely staying out of the water as well on the
approach. Oh, man. Well, yeah. He almost went in the water on the approach both sides of the green. It was cracking, yeah.
You know, you've got to take your chances, and in a way, listen, it's fantastic to get a win, 60-1. Really, really pleased with that. Pablo de Rathabel got a place, and he finished eagle, birdie, birdie. Now, I moan and groan about how Sundays go for me sometimes, and that was the polar opposite of what's happened so far this year. So I'll take all of it. I just really hope I've not used up all of my luck in one fell swoop, because that could have easily gone completely the other way on Sunday. Pablo could have missed out. Houghton could have lost the playoff, quite easily lost the playoff, and it could be completely different. But yes, let's take it and move on, and hope we can get some more of the same this week and moving forwards.
It shows how much you are are a beaten person or a beaten man when it comes to golf betting, that your first instinct is to go straight to negativity, thinking the pain is going to come back immediately. There's no celebrating the sunshine or anything. It's just like, I better go buy three more umbrellas for when it rains.
Yeah. The briefest ray of sunshine.
Yeah, exactly. Like an Irish summer.
But now you've got
to be showing signs, though, Hao Tongli.
Yeah.
This year. 12th at Sony. There was a couple of a third and a sixth on the DP World Tour. And we were saying pre-show that he'd been as high as mid-30s in the world in 2018.
Mm. Oh, yes.
And there was that total and utter collapse. His whole game just disintegrated.
Couldn't keep the ball on the planet. And I think I described it as such in my preview last week. It was, he couldn't find a fairway. He couldn't hit a green. It was a horrible combination until he got to the Dunhill Links last year where something had clicked, whether it was something in his setup, something that he'd been working on the range, I don't know. But his tee to green and approach game was materially different. And he's pushed on since then. And, we all saw the outpouring of emotion at the end of that tournament last week, and quite rightly so. I've seen some people moaning and groaning about it, but the guy's just won his first event for over 4 years, and it's a massive thing for him.
I have a question. I don't know the answer to it, but is it more difficult to get that comeback win after your game has gone to the complete dogs, or to get your first win? Because when you're comeback win, you're dealing with all the scar tissue. If anybody has any ideas on that, like, tweet us. But it just seems like these comeback wins mean so much more than just the first win that these guys get.
Yeah, I think it's for them. It must be like validation and justification of the work that they've put in again to try to return to where they were. Remember Henrik Stenson back in the day? He went completely off the boil, didn't he? And then slowly and surely came back. And
he's coming back.
Yeah, Stenson, and again,
he's going
yeah.
slowly getting there.
Perhaps there's another resurgence from Stenson, having come back, won his major, gone off the boil again. I don't know how many comebacks have you got in your career? It's only a finite number of years you can reasonably do it. Hao Tong's not old. Was he 25, 26? He's mid 20s. He's certainly got enough time left to push on from here. But yeah, we say this about all the players. You see a player win, you see a player win in different fashions and expect them to go and push on and win more titles, and it doesn't always work like that. It's a fickle old game that we choose to play in this.
We had that surrounded, really. You had Lee. You had Larrazabal with his amazing finish. I had Ryan Fox. So I thought it was guaranteed that Thomas Peters would win.
yeah.
But it
looked inevitable.
No, Travellers check. Yeah, it was good, Paul. Well done, mate.
Cheers.
Much needed. You'll go on a run now.
Yeah, hopefully. That's the way it often works, isn't it? You kind of build a bit of confidence up from something that's something like that, and you nail a few winners in the space of a few weeks. Let's hope that's the case.
I'd love to see your post-win interview, Paul, see if you were dropping as many F-bombs as Hao Tong. It's been so long, man.
Yeah,
there was plenty of bleak Monday mornings.
Yeah, the air was fairly blue on that first playoff hole until he nailed the putt, I must say.
Travellers Championship. We had Xander Schauffele win, so another comeback victory, or solo victory. We know he won with Cantley a few months ago. Won it quite comfortably, didn't he? Held off Sahith Tigala. That guy is a talent. It was almost kind of Sahith's performance on the final green was similar to that of Hao Tong's to a certain extent. He's going to be a some player, this tequila guy.
Yeah, it's part of the learning curve, isn't it?
And yeah.
Again, he's going to be massively disappointed for the way that final hole went, as you would be from the scenario that he found himself in. But he should learn and grow and develop and put it down to experience and move on. Might sting for a little bit, I'm sure it will, but part of the process.
I've got a theory with Sahith. he's going to win in the next couple of weeks on one of these absolutely awful PGA Tour events.
Yeah, yes.
He's going to he's going to do a Colin Morikawa or a Victor Hovland. There was one last year, the name doesn't come to my mind. Oh, Seamus Power. He's going to win 11-12-1.
I was just about to say it'll be 12s or 16-1.
Yeah, and you know what? I am not going to sit there and go, no. I'm going to actually just, I might even just be as blatant as 10 points or 5 points each way, Sahith Tagala, off 10 points to win. Just get it done. There you go. There's my tips for the week. Tagala wins. Slap it all up.
We'll wait and see, Steve. I'm sure you'll have a few fancies a little bit further down, but
I don't know. I mean, I've no idea. I don't know if he might even be flying over to the Scottish Open. I don't think that'd make a lot of sense, though. I don't think he's in the open field. Might be wrong. He might be in the open field after this week because there's 3 spots going to in the John Deere Classic. The highest finishers.
He is playing the Scottish Open.
He is. There you go then. So he's not winning at 12-1, the Barbasol Championship.
It'd be a couple of weeks' time.
According to this, he is on the list of players.
Strokes going tee to green last week. Luke List, incredibly, 14.2, ranked number one. He was, I think, 153rd out of 154 for putting. But that's crazy with Luke Lee. It was crazy for me. I had Power 13th, Bradley 13th, Scotty Scheffler 9th, and Brendan Steele gained 11.5 strokes from tee to green. None of them could putt. They were all putting. They couldn't hit a barn door with a banjo with a putter. So I got absolutely nothing for the win. So there you go. Xander, 8th for tee to green. I think he was in the top. Let's have a quick look before I quote a bad number. He was in the top 4 for putting. Him, Kisner, Jonas Blixt, Adam Long, and this Michael Tior Bjornsson.
Mm.
He gained almost 10 strokes with the putter last week in Hartford.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Talking to your Bjornsson, there's I saw a bet slip on our Facebook group of one of the guys on there who backed him each way at 2,000-1, and got a 500-1 each way return out of that with quarter of the odds.
That's a bet.
Some going. So congratulations for that. Really good.
The old odds compiler, was it Bet365?
He was, yeah, for the quarterly odds.
He must have been looking at that. Oh, my Lord. There is some extreme talent out there at the moment. Mm. Some really talented guys. Right. Let's move on to this week because it's a packed show. We're not covering the live event, but there is a live event in Portland. The field these days seems to be a little bit better. It's growing already. DJ, Louis, Brooks, Koepka, Anser, Gooch, DeChambeau, Garcia, Nah Reid, Pat Perez for some strange reason, Charles Svartzel, Horsfield. So that field's starting to strengthen up and there's constant rumours and more people going across. It's over in Portland, so I would assume that they're Poana Green. So if there was one person I'd be backing, that's probably Dustin Johnson. There is a smidgen of 7-1 out there with Bet365 at the moment. As we know, the most winniest Poana player since my record start on Poana or Bent Poana.
Yeah, yeah.
He absolutely loves it.
He can putt on Poa, that is much. Yeah.
But we are going to start the show with Barry's favourite event, even though he's not attending. The Horizon Irish Open. I'm going to start you off with 10bet. We're going to talk about some of the prices that they've got this week on the Irish Open. They are offering standout prices on popular players with market-leading odds, which you can take each way, 5 places each way, a quarter of the odds. Now, as we record this podcast, they are offering market best. You will not get better prices anywhere. On 28-1, Jordan Smith. 45-1 on Romain Langasque. 50-1 on Thomas Dietrich. We've got 66-1 on Johannes Veerman. And once you get into the 80s and the 100s, there's quite a few players there. Top price with 10 bet. Over on the John Deere Classic, I'm seeing Brendan Todd. He's on my post-it note, never to back, 35-1. Jason Day at 35-1. Nick Hardy, very informed, 40-1. And last week's hero, JT the Postman Poston, 55-1 with 10 bet. New 10 bet customers get a 50% welcome bonus up to £50 when signing up through Golf Betting System. You can find details about their new customer promotion, plus a link through to that very offer, plus T's and C's in this podcast description. Support the show. Yeah, 10 bet, again, outstanding prices. We're coming up to the Open Championship. I think it'd be a good idea just to have a funded account on board, because some of the prices they offer are incredible each and every week. Right. Horizon Irish Open, Paul. Take it away for us.
Yeah, just well, quickly on a couple of points. On the 10 bet point, your point about having it fully funded in the morning on the Monday is absolutely right, because the prices tend to be at their most outlandish as soon as the markets come up on a Monday. I'll qualify that a little bit further when I go through my selections at the end. The other point, I know you lambasting Barry about not going to the Irish Open. He is going to the JP McManus Pro-Am next week, which is absolutely stacked, Barry, isn't it? You've got some.
I am so jealous.
It's like a mini major. The field is so strong. Mm. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, Tiger's there apparently, isn't he? And then you've got a whole host of players who, yeah, would, as you said, be more befitting of a major championship than a pro-am.
Yeah, it's we've had these tickets for 3 years, so it's kind of it's almost like built up too much in my head. But yeah, it's gonna be an incredible thing. So yeah, I can't wait for that. Can't do too much. It's 2 days as well, so that's why I kind of bowed out of going down to the Irish Open.
Yeah,
you're there for both days, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll have to give us a full debrief when you're next on the pod afterwards, Barry.
Just listen to this. McIlroy, John Rahm, Scheffler, Thomas, Cantlay Spieth. DJ's coming from Portland on Sunday, apparently, to play that JP McManus thing in Ireland. I think there might be some jet lag there. Morikawa, Sam Burns, Shane Lowry, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Brooks Koepka. And the list just goes on and on and on. Incredible. Mm. Tiger Woods, 40-1.
Mad. Anyway, let's talk about the Horizon Irish Open. And we've got the lead up to the Open Championship. It starts in earnest this week, really, doesn't it, with the Irish Open. We head to the Renaissance Club next week for the Scottish Open, which is a little bit more linksy. But yeah, before we get to that point, we've got this week to attend or contend with. There's a bit more happening with the Open this week, actually worth noting. Three players in the top 10 here who finish in the top 10 who aren't already qualified for the Open will get a starting spot in the Open Championship this year. There's also final qualifying happening today on Tuesday here in the UK across four different locations. These are all 36-hole affairs. And there are some players who in this week's field in the Irish Open who are playing at some of the various locations today. So well worth knowing, because some of these guys, if they do get through 36 holes, have then got to jet straight back over to Ireland to play the Irish Open. So a bit of extra golf, whether that's good or bad, remains to be seen. But the likes of Aaron Rye, the most notable player that I spotted who's playing one of the qualifiers today. Andy Sullivan's playing as well. And there's quite a few others. So do check out the Open Championship website if you want a full list of the players that are in attendance at the various locations. Fairmont St Andrews and St Anne's and Prince's are amongst the locations that are being played today. Anyway, back to the here and now then. And as per last year, we've not quite got the link swing. We've got this Parkland set up at Mount Juliet. So Renaissance Club next week, that might be a little bit more relevant, I guess, in respect to the Open Championship. But that's not to take anything away from this week, because Mount Juliet is a fantastic course. And in terms of the field, probably not the best. Certainly, we've seen stronger fields over the years. Shane Lowry is the favourite this week, 9-1. Seamus Power's coming over to play on the DP World Tour, which is a welcome addition, 16-1. Thomas Peters, 18s, from his fresh from his playoff defeat last week. Till Hatton, 20-1. Then we've got the likes of Ryan Fox, 22s. Jordan Smith, 25-1. Aaron Rye, I've just mentioned, playing today in the qualifiers, 30-1. He's been quite heavily backed as well, so perhaps there's some logic in there. I'm not quite sure. Lucas Herbert, 35-1, defending champion. Adrian Moronk, the same price, 35s, 40-1. Bar that list of 8 or 9 players I've just read through. Boyle Sports, they're going a huge 11 places each way, a fifth of the odds this week. That is the standout each way terms this week on the Irish Open. So do check out their prices. We've got all of their latest new account offers on my preview. So flick through that, take a look. Make sure that you check their prices before you place a bet, because if you're getting 6 or 8 places and you could have got the same price at 11, then it's a no-brainer, isn't it? Mount Juliet then hosted the Irish Open back in the mid-90s. Nick Faldo, Bernard Langer, Sam Torrance, winners here, all at 11 under to 13 under. Bit of a gap then. 2002 and 2004, it also hosted the WGC American Express. Now that was won by Tiger Woods at 25 under, so a material difference there in terms of the winning total. Ernie Els also won 18 under par. So we've got quite a variation in the winning totals. Last year, hosted the event here as well. Lucas Herbert won at 19 under. So it's clear that the setup, or it's clear that the conditions of that particular week are going to impact how difficult the course plays. In terms of its setup, it's a 7,264-yard par 72. It's a Jack Nicklaus design. It's Parkland in style. It's tree-lined, but it's fairly generous off the tee. You've got water in play on half the holes. Top quality bent grass greens. They're relatively quick by European standards, at least. 12 on the stimp. If it's particularly dry, they can get a little bit quicker than that, but I expect it to be in somewhere in the maybe 11.5 to 12 bracket this week, given the conditions. And actually, it's raining today. Should get some rain again tomorrow. After that, it should be relatively dry, unless you've got a better forecast than the one I've seen, Barry. But that's kind of how it implies to me.
Still waiting for a real summer to arrive here. Yeah, it's a bit, last couple of weeks have just been a bit meh. Not cold, just so changeable, sad. So yeah, but it looks like heading towards the weekend, things might start to settle down a bit. And the wind is a real factor, I think, you need to look at when it comes to Mount Juliet. Like, you bring a little bit of wind up and that place is going to just play havoc with your head. But if it's only a few miles an hour, maybe one club, then yeah, the guys can get out there and score.
Yeah, you can kind of see that from the scoring, can't you? So, as I going back to the mid 90s, it was kind of that 10-12, that low mid score kind of bracket. Yet Tiger Woods has won there at 25 under. That must have been a particularly soft yet calm week. So, yeah, I looking at the forecast, it looks like it's quite heavy rain today. A bit of rain tomorrow. It should be soft for the start of the start of the event, at least, I think. After that, it does look relatively dry, cloudy in the main. Temperatures around the mid-60s Fahrenheit. Friday looks the windiest day, 10 to 15 miles an hour. I expect it to be gusting in excess of that. So I'd expect Friday to be a fairly tricky day. Thursday's just behind that in terms of the wind speeds. Over the weekend, it does look like it calms down a little bit. So it should be a little bit more scorable, but I certainly don't see it getting up into the 25 under bracket. I'd imagine it'll be mid-score, mid-teens at best. So it's a fairly challenging, particularly with 4 par fives that are scorable. I think the rest of the course will present some challenges to the players, which is good to see, particularly in the run-up to the Open Championship. Just to give you a flow, I mean, this event does hop about, so the locations of these wins will vary, but just to give you a flavour of some of the winners and prices from the recent years. 2010, Ross Fisher won at 20-1. Simon Dyson won the year after 25s. Jamie Donaldson was 66-1 when he won in 2012. Paul Casey, 50-1. Mikko Ilonen, 80-1 in 2014. Søren Kjeldsen's the longest price of recent winners, 150-1 he won in 2015. Then some shorter prices. Rory won in at 4-1 in 2016. John Rahm was 14s the following year. Russell Knox came over and won at 28s in 2018. John Rahm again, 8-1. Then John Catlin won in 2020 at Galgorham Castle, 40-1. Lucas Herbert was 33-1 here last year when he won here at Mount Juliet. And if you look at the way that Herbert got over the line, his short game, really, I mean, you kind of get that from Lucas Herbert anyway, but if you look at his stats, traditional stats, he was 35th for accuracy, 34 for greens and regulations, so middle of the pack from the players that made the weekend. 15th for scrambling, 5th for putting. So it was all from kind of the on and around the greens that got the job done. And if you look back again at Ernie Els, again, we've only got traditional stats for the older events. Els was 1st for putting average, 1st for scrambling when he won in 2004. Tiger was 6th for putting average and 1st for scrambling again in 2002. So the whichever year, the way that the course is set up, it has still tended to appeal to the players who've had, tended to be the players who've performed best on and around the greens that have got over the line overall. In terms of strokes gained, the only thing to really pick out from Herbert was the fact that he was 5th for strokes gained putting last year. So again, that kind of ties in with the stats that I just said. Herbert came in with a couple of top 20s in the PGA Tour in his previous two starts. He could have made a case for him on the basis that he was dropping down a level. If you look at the incoming form of the winners over the last 10 or 12 years of the Irish Open, generally, they've all been in reasonably good form. In fact, if you go back prior to Lucas Herbert, the previous four Irish Open championships or Open champion winners all had a top 10 on their last start. So some incoming form's good. Course form, well, realistically, we've only got last year for the bulk of the field, so you could infer some of that, but you've also got to factor in how players were playing at that point in the time last year, and a single year's worth of data in that respect probably isn't the most tangible to go from. So I've looked at it, but I've not been I've not gone all in on players that had to have played well last year. So that's kind of led me down to a team of five altogether. I looked at the top of the market. I can leave Lowry alone at the single digit odds that he's been quoted at. He's still not won since the Open in 2019. I've got no doubt that he's got the short game to compete here, but is the putter there? That's really the question that I ask myself. And I've not seen enough with the putter recently to suggest that he's going to get over the line. Yeah, he could do it. Let's not beat around the bush. He's the favourite, and he's quite rightly the favourite. But he's going to have to putt better than his baseline's been for the last few months, I think, to get over the line here this week. Seamus Power, I really did deliberate as to whether just to go win only, top of the market, Seamus Power, and with some longer prices. But it does concern me. There's a couple of things that concern me. He's played this event three times over the years. Miscut 63rd, 60th. So he's had no better finish than 60th. He's a far, far better player than the last time he teed it up here. And I understand that. Looking at how he's performed in the majors recently, what was he, 9th and 12th at the PGA and the US Open, his focus really has got to be the Open Championship in a couple of weeks' time. And I wonder if he's really, this is just part of his build-up. He's come home. He'll play the Irish Open. He'll spend some time with friends and family, probably stick a few Guinnesses down his neck. And will he go all out to win this title? If it's one of his own personal ambitions to win the Irish Open and he's massively focused, then the price that's there, which you can get 16-1 at Bowden at the moment, could be, could be a good price. But I don't know. I just couldn't go there personally. Really, really struggled. I started my team this week with Ryan Fox, 22-1. And Ryan, I know you were on him last week, Steve. And you know, save for he made a triple bogey on one of the par threes on Saturday when he was right in the mix as well. Pulled himself back to parity with two or three holes to go and then just couldn't quite push on towards the end. But he's seemingly in contention every single week on the DP World Tour. If you strip out the majors, this is his seven-event form on the DP World Tour. First at Ras Al Khaimah, 15th, 9th, 8th, 2nd, 2nd, 3rd. And he could easily have won two or three of those events as well. You know, on another week and another Sunday, he could easily have got over the line on two or three of those. So he could be staring at an even better form line at the moment. Open was 66 and 64 last week. He was the closest to Hao Tong Li at the halfway point. Just reading on his social media, it didn't feel great over the weekend. Felt a bit under the weather. He got that treble on Saturday, as I said, and you know, had every chance in the world with a couple of holes to go. Had he made a couple of birdies coming home, but couldn't quite do it. If you look at his stats for last week, 7th for strokes gained off the tee, 5th for tee to green, 6th for strokes gained putting, 1st for strokes gained around the green. That's a fantastic combination of stats. The one that really gets me, though, and the reason that I backed him, if you look at last year, the top 8 finishers, they averaged very close to 11 under par for the par 5s. You've got to score on the par 5s here. And if you can make your scores on the par 5s and just make no disasters on the rest of the course, then you can find yourself in contention. He led the field by a long stretch last week. He was 17 under par for the par 5s last week. That is
17 under?
Absolutely. That is a huge number. And if he's absolutely butchering the par 5s this week, he will find himself in contention again. If it is soft, particularly at the start of the event, with the forecast would suggest that that's what we should see. A longer course is how it will play to begin with. Absolutely spot on for Ryan Fox. So 22-1 each way. I couldn't see any reason not to back him with 8 places each way with William Hill, I took him with.
He's got a genuine chance. I mentioned this last week. He's got a genuine chance for President's Cup this year. He jumped 2 spots last week. He's now 16th in qualification. He just plays on the DP World Tour. No PGA Tour.
No.
He's got Lahiri Leishman, who's in terrible nick. Eric Van Ruin, who's in terrible nick. And then Adam Hadwin is the 12th member of the team at the moment. Bearing in mind that I think they'll take the top 8, I think it is. I don't know. It's based on world rankings.
Yep. Well,
He's there, or he's fringy. So if he can keep playing crazily good golf, he could play himself into a President's Cup captain's pick, put it that way.
It's... You can't dispute how well he's playing. He's just churning out contending performance after contending performance. Mm. And you keep putting yourself in position with a couple of holes to go and the door will open. And, you know, he's already got that win at Ras Al Khaimah early in the year. Quite reasonably. Could have got another one, another two, and may well push on and get another one, another two this season. And as you say, if he's focused on that President's Cup spot, then, you know, it may act as that extra bit of motivation for him. But yeah, I couldn't see any reason not to back him, really. Also backed Adrian Arnaus at 50-1. I was surprised at the price with Arnaus.
Wow.
I must say.
Yeah, that's a good price for him.
Yeah. For a player in this field, and you take the top 2 away, and it's, you know, okay, you've got Tyrrell Hatton in there. But yeah, other than that, it's not much better than a bog standard DP World Tour event. So 50-1 about a player who, again, has been playing some great stuff was surprising for me. And he finally got that monkey off his back at the PGA Catalunya Resort a few weeks back. I'm expecting him to push on from there. I'm expecting him to rack up some more wins in the short to medium term. He tends to do his best work on these kind of tree lined parkland style tracks. So this should really suit him again this week at Mount Juliet. Now, he missed the cut at the US Open last time out. Maybe that's the reason for his price. I mean, I don't think you can really mark him down massively for that. But prior to that, there's enough to give him a chance here this week. Massive improver with the putter as well. We've talked about it before, but these stats don't tell a lie. 2020, he was 143rd on tour for strokes gained putting. Last year, 6th. Massive improvement, 143rd to 6th. This year, for the season to date, he's 21st for strokes gained putting. I think that you will need to putt well this week. Last year, when he played here, he was 56th overall. He wasn't in the greatest of nick. He led the field here for strokes gained putting, even though he finished way down the field. And there's also been some hints of his long game starting to come back. And you know, he'd go back to the start of his career. That's what he was all about. It was all strokes going off the tee, strokes going tee to green. That's kind of dropped away as his putting has improved. But if you look at some of his recent performances, particularly at the US PGA Championship, he finished 30th overall. Top 10 for both strokes going off the tee and strokes going tee to green. You combine those kind of numbers here this week with the putting performance that he can do and the putting performance that he produced last year here on these greens, I think he'll go very, very close at 50s. Three longer prices to complement those two. Max Kiefer up back to 125 to 1, 8 places each way. I don't think it'll be a birdie fest as we've discussed. I think anything a little bit trickier suits the German. He's still looking for his first DP World Tour win, but he's got a couple of playoff defeats. He's come very close in the past. Most recently was in Austria last year when he eventually lost out to John Catlin. And we were the right side of that playoff, which was good to see. But Kiefer had his chances in that playoff. He could easily have won that as well. I think, again, another player who will get over the line at some point. He's been strokes going positive with his putter in his last two outings. Fifth of strokes gained around the green in Sweden a couple of weeks back. He was seventh overall, third for strokes gained approach last week in Germany, 26th overall. I think overall he's in far better form than when he came here last year. He finished 39th last year. I think he's in much better nick with all aspects of his game at the moment, and he can massively improve on that at 125. Same price. I've also backed Brandon Stone, same terms, 8 places each way. Now, Stone, former Rolex Series winner back at the Scottish Open in 2018, he's far better than most, in terms of his CV, he's got far better CV than most that he can claim. I'm also keeping an eye on these South Africans after you know, some of his compatriots mopped up all of the cash at that first LIV event. I guess the players, the South Africans that aren't on the LIV, may have something to prove over the next few weeks to show, you know, that they're capable enough to compete with their now mega rich buddies. Fifth recently at the Porsche European Open, and that was his first top 10 for over a year. So perhaps that's already started to galvanise him in terms of the way that he's playing. He was top 10 for strokes gained tee to green and around the green that game, that week rather. 15th last week. Achieved it in very much similar fashion, really around the green and top 10 in terms of strokes gained tee to green. Before that, fourth for strokes gained putting at the Belfry. Interesting when you see a little spark of putting form from Brandon Stone, because that's generally all that he needs to really compete. So again, I couldn't resist the price at 125 to 1 with 8 places. Now, finally, and just going back to the point I alluded to with Tembet early on, I've also backed Dan Housing at, he's currently 250 to 1. So you can get right now 250 to 1, Dan Housing. And I think that's a decent price for a player that I'll make a case for in a second. He opened yesterday at 600 to 1 with Tembet early in the morning, and got gradually eroded away as people spotted that price and thought that was absolute madness. Generally now 250 to 1, but I certainly wouldn't put you off at that price if you fancy backing him. Now, as a Dutchman, he's not as well known as some of his compatriots, Joost Luiten, Will Besseling, but if you look through his CV, 6 pro titles to his name over the years. 3 of those came at Challenge Tour level, and now 2 of those actually came in the island of Ireland. Going back to 2013, he won at Galgoran Castle on the Challenge Tour. He won last year at the Irish Challenge at Portmarnock as well. So some Irish form, both north and south of the border. I guess in terms of relevance, Galgoran's more relevant in terms of the course. He's also got a couple of further top 10s there. He was also 14th there at the Irish Open back in 2020, the one that John Catlin won. So some good form in terms of Galgoran. More recently, 10th at the Porsche European Open. That was his best DP World Tour career result so far. Last week, he was 3rd heading into the weekend. He opened with a 63-69 last week. He was 3rd into the weekend, dropped away a bit over the weekend, But there's certainly signs that he's starting to get to grips with the DP World Tour top level. And at those prices, I really couldn't resist taking an each-way punt on him. He could well sneak into a place. Now, I took him with 10 bets, so I've only got 5 places. You can get longer now, though, if you were happy to take the 250-1 each way. Either way, I think there's a sniff of a chance for a Dan Housing top finish this week. So there are my 5. Dan Housing, 250-1 now. Brandon Stone, 125-1. Max Keefe, 125-1. Adrian Aus, 50-1. And Ryan Fox at 22-1. You got any fancies, Barry? You on Seamus?
I don't know. I don't think so.
It's a little short, isn't it?
I know. Yeah, I'm back. Like, just jumping off Seamus. Like, he could win. I'm not so sure. I don't know. I'd be more inclined to back Shane if I was going to go for an on the nose bet. Like we've just said, like, it seems like Shane has to pop for a win soon. It just hasn't quite happened, but this could very easily be the week.
Yeah, it's just got to find the putter, isn't it?
Isn't that just the difference most weeks? Like, just
ball
strike the hell out of it.
I've got a putting contest this week at the John Deere Classic, and you're trying to work out who's going to putt well and who isn't. It's like,
exactly.
Who's it's like throwing jelly at a wall, isn't it?
So yeah, I don't know. I think I'm going to leave the two boys alone. If they win, amazing. But I have such unpredictability on the European Tour, the DP World Tour. I'd rather just go and grab a few longer price lads with extra places and see can I land one of those. And that should, their place payout should equal or be better than the win only on one of the boys if they do win. So yeah, that's kind of where I am at.
I'm just looking back here. 2007, Padraig Harrington won the Irish Open.
Yeah.
And that was the only time he won it. And then you got Shane Lowry winning it as an amateur in 2009. They're the only Irish wins at the home open going way back to John O'Leary in 82. So it's clearly a difficult thing for the home contingent to do. And you're backing them at 9s and 14s. It doesn't feel an easy bet to make, that, does it?
No, I did go all around. Well, particularly with Seamus, I went around the houses because I could have just backed him on the nose. There was an 18-1 price dangled earlier on from Unibet, which 18-1. I don't know. I don't know if I could have still pulled the trigger there, but you know, he's good enough he's a good enough player to take that price and be comfortable that you've made a bet that win or lose, you know, it was worth making. But generally, if you want the extra or you want each way places, you're looking closer to what, 11, 12 to 1, something like that. So yeah, it's a tough ask, isn't it? Have you backed any, Barry, or are you still pondering?
I've had a couple of bets. Yeah. The first one, I started from the bottom. I went very deep down, looking at last year's. Hang on. He's had a torrid time this year. But a ray of hope last week with a made cut. He finished second in the Irish Open last year. Rickard Carlberg just seems to have a good record here in Ireland. So he was at bananas odds, and I just took the maximum places. So I started there, and we've moved our way up. I've backed Marcel Schneider.
Yep. Yeah, he's been really consistent recently, isn't he?
Lot of good results recently. 2 missed cuts amongst these, but 13th, 7th, 4th, 5th, and 15th. First time over here playing the Irish Open, so see how he gets on. But I just looked a little bit deeper. After seeing such incoming form, I looked a little bit deeper, and his greens and reg got better every day last week, so hope he was just finding something and locking it in, and that kind of has held true. Like, I think if you can tee to green your way around here in Mount Julius, you don't need to be putting the lights out. And you also save yourself some awkward stuff. The greens have a bit of slope to them, and coupled with the speed, it's just going to make scrambling a little bit of a challenge. So, yeah, that's kind of where how I landed on Schneider. Steve, do you have any, or do you want me to jump into the last?
I don't mind Fox. I also don't mind Aaron Rye, because you look at Russell Knox, someone like that. Even Lucas Herbert last year, those two top 20s, is a huge drop from PGA down to DP World. And he's been hitting the ball very, very typically Aaron Rye in the States, clearly negative on the putting. If he can have just a neutral or slightly better than neutral putting week, Aaron Rye, with his two gloves, I cannot see him not being a factor. Double negative. He has to be a factor if he can actually putt neutrally.
Yeah, it was this.
And he was second here, wasn't he? Won the Scottish Open back in COVID 2020. Mm. Yeah. He's a logical pick. I managed to get him at 33s yesterday.
Yeah, and he has been well backed. It's the question mark I had was this Open Championship qualifying that he's playing in today. Mm. And, you know, he's a young, fit bloke. He can handle 36 holes and then go and get himself ready for Thursday, I'm sure.
Where is the qualifying? In England, is it? Or?
Yeah, I think he's playing at the Fairmont St Andrews, from memory. But yeah.
Okay, so he'll then fly over. So he won't be touching down in Ireland until Wednesday morning earliest, no. or Tuesday night, yeah.
Yeah, assuming he stays the course. Of course, a lot of these players, if they find themselves in a position where they're not going to qualify, they just WD and get themselves back on the.
Yeah, but he's going to play the pro-am. That's his lot, isn't it? Mm. Straight in. Yeah.
Yep.
That is a negative, but. Mm. So they're the two I'd take at the top.
What's your other one, Barry?
I went for the other Dutchman, Will Besseling. Well, sorry, he's not the only other one, but yeah, I took Will Besseling. And just looking at, compared to Houtsing, like their recent form, there's not an awful lot between them, but Houtsing's price is double, triple. I did manage to get Besseling at 80 to 1 with extended places, so it was kind of nice.
Yep.
Hits a ball a long, long way. That can help him around here, going in with a lot of wedges.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it'll play relatively long, at least on Thursday and Friday, I think. And yeah, a little bit of mumbo from off the tee won't hurt at all, I don't think.
Mm.
That kind of fits into Andre Arnoux's remit, doesn't it? That price you got on him is crazy. I don't really understand that.
No, there was no way I could say no to 50-1 for Adrian.
That's a great price. Should be a good tournament then. Should we go on to the John Deere Classic?
Yep, looking forward to it.
I call the American Express the Bob Hope Lottery, the John Deere Classic. Well, you're in the same kind of boat, really. A pretty nondescript par 70-1 in Sylvie, Illinois. The field here is always weak. This year, I can't remember a weaker one. Just as we were going live with our tips, Daniel Berger decided to WD almost. That just happens all the time now in these weak events, doesn't it? The favourite seems to WD.
It just kills the market.
For varying reasons in this golfing landscape. Mm. So then you have to change it. You have to pull out any reference to the favourite. It was all over your statistics. It was a bit of a shit show yesterday, really. But there you go.
What can you do?
That's what you get at the John Deere Classic. Yeah. This is usually, of course, it's famous for the old... They all hop on a... liner and fly straight across to the UK for the Open Championship, but with this revised PGA Tour schedule in I'll tell you what I was going to ask you quickly, and some listeners I'm sure will be interesting to know, and I don't actually know the answer. What did Keith Pelly say last week about this LIV DP World Tour PGA Tour situation?
Yeah, and it was pretty much as we expected, really, in that the co-sanctioned events with the PGA Tour, the LIV players won't be playing. The players who went from the DP World Tour without permission were all fined 100,000 either euros or pounds. 100 grand either way.
Yeah.
So yes, they've had a slap on the wrist. I expect $100,000 in the context of what they've been paid for signing on with Liv is a drop in the ocean, really. But yes, it's kind of a reprimand rather than an outright ban.
But you say co-sanctioned.
So if it's PGA Tour involved, then they can't play.
Yeah, but they can still play DP World Tour Championship at the end of the year. They can still play St. Anne. No?
Yep. Yeah, at the moment.
They can still play St Andrews for the Alfred Dunhill, for example. They can still play Wentworth.
Yep. At the moment, no... The only sanctions they've had is this fine to slap them on the wrist for having done it without permission, effectively.
This feels like the best way for the DP World Tour to proceed is to sit on the fence as long as possible, as long as they can, because just to see how it all washes out, because they don't want to pin their... they don't pin their hopes on one or the other and it be the one that fails. I think they need to go with whichever one looks to be the strongest at the end of this year to kind of guarantee their survival.
Yeah.
So sitting in the middle right now and just handing out fines, it seems non-committal, but I really understand why they're not jumping one way or the other.
Yeah. Yes, it's made a statement without making a definitive commitment to what the future will hold. So, yeah, still in a hold'em pattern, Steve, effectively.
In a world where these Liv guys aren't getting any world ranking points, that would suggest the DP World Tour in the short term could be an avenue to try and bolster those points to keep you in the top 50 kind of scenario.
Yep. Yeah, well, you saw 10 players last week who played at Centurion, teed it up in Germany, and you got a few again this week. It's it will be on their minds, some of them, particularly the ones that are fringy kind of top 50 or thereabouts, who may see it as an opportunity to gather some points before they start losing them. But yeah, it's messy, isn't it? Simply
very messy. Yeah. I don't know how Liv and the said schedule works in terms of Wentworth.
No, we'd have to look into that.
I wouldn't have thought they'd want to go on the same weekend as a Wentworth, for example, just for sets of eyes and whatever. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see if some of these, you would assume that these Liv guys, like a Patrick Reed, what's to stop him coming over to Wentworth? Because he used to play it pretty much every year anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's still got associated membership of the DP World Tour or however that works. Anyway, so it's getting us very away from the John Deere Classic. That's the trouble with this Liv. It kind of takes your mind away from the important stuff. 7,289 yards this week, par 71. It's a DIY bring design. 5,500 square feet on average greens. They feature L93 bent grass. So we've moved away from Poana, which many of the players will be clapping around this week. They don't, as we know, lots of players do not get on well with the Poana. It's pretty nondescript. It's there for the taking, effectively. It's got wide fairways. I mean, just to make you aware, TPC River Highlands last week at 300-yard carry, 29 yards wide. This week, Deer Run, 36 yards wide. So 7 yards wider at 300 yards carry these fairways. So even the inaccurate can hit 65-70% of fairways this week. The greens are pure bent grass. They are pure. So you always read, absolutely fantastic to putt on. There's wind in the forecast Thursday, which is pretty rare for here. So I wouldn't expect one of those situations where, I mean, I'm just looking at the first round leader stats here of previous years. And we've got 8 under Hadley and Munoz last year. Diath in 2019, 9 under. Wheatcroft in 2018, 9 under. I don't think you're going to see scoring like that on Thursday. I think 5-6 under probably leads the field because it's going to be blowing 20-25. And then it's going to calm down. It's going to be dry. They're going to make these fairways run out and they're going to water the greens every day. And it's going to be lights out. Glover won at 19 under last year. Fratelli 21 under. Michael Kim from nowhere. And he won this and then disappeared off the face of the earth. 27 under. DeChambeau 18 under. So it's a proper resort scoring test. Ryan Moore 22 under. So yeah, it's foot to the boards. If you're not birding one in three holes and keeping the bogeys off the card, you're going nowhere. Cut line was 4 under last year, just to make the cut. A little angle I don't mind the look of. Forget about Michael Kim. If you found out Michael Kim at 500-1 in 2018, well played. But Lucas Glover 115, Fratelli 133, DeChambeau 144. Those were their world golf rankings when they won here. So 115, 133, 144, three of the last four winners. And you can go back to Stricker and Spieth, but the field isn't like that anymore. Zach Johnson, you know, you actually had some half-decent players attending. To put that into perspective, this year, now that Daniel Berger has gone, Webb Simpson, oh my God, is a 10-1 favourite with William Hill and Paddy Power. He's not exactly been tearing trees up, Webb Simpson, has he? Although he's percolating.
Yeah. No, but I had him noted down, just to keep an eye on him and... I just don't want to back Webb at 10-1.
So. I had him on my shortlist, and I thought, in my kind of naive way, if I could get 20, something like that, I might be interested. But 10-1, no, you're right.
No.
Adam Hadwin, 14-1 with Skybet. That's a bloke that's won once in his PGA Tour career. It's not really turning me on. Yeah, they're logical bets, aren't they? Because this is the kind of place where it's bent grass, it's lights out. They're in, you know, Hadwin's in great nick. Mm. I can see the logic, but at those prices, and then you're down to Sahith Tigala at 22-1, who's clearly the hot hand of the whole piece.
Maybe this is the value week to get Sahith, Steve. You know, we were talking about the 12-16s, but maybe this is the value week. Field's not strong.
No, field's not strong. It's. I think it boils down to what Paul said. It's how he recovers from Sunday.
Yeah.
Now, some of these youngsters, they could just brush it off their shoulders and crack on. So we'll see with Sahith. The only thing I say about Sahith as well, he's not the most naturally gifted of putters. I know people will be shouting down the microphone at me, yeah, but Lucas Glover won this last year, Steve. I get that. But Lucas Glover, when you looked at his numbers, I think he'd been like positive for putting 10 of his last 12 outings or something silly like that last year. Put it this way. Coming into the event, he was ranking in the top 10 for strokes gained putting on my 8-week trackers. So he had been actually putting nicely. Tigala, he can be losing 7 strokes one week and gaining 1 the next. He's that kind of putter. It doesn't feel a dead natural fit in terms of someone that's got a red hot putter this week.
Yeah, and he's got to bounce back from last week. And whichever way you look at it, it's going to take some toll. If he does prove to just brush it off and instantly contend again, then that tells us an awful lot about the man and something that we can bank for future use. I'm not convinced personally.
I think he'll be fine once he beats his caddy up and down the yard. That's all. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's all caddy there. He should be like, boss, you need to just chip out sideways. You still have a wedge in no matter what happens. And your worst case scenario is bogey on that hole. Now he's got nightmares living with him. And to eliminate those demons now or those nightmares, he's going to have to win this week. Just to wash over it really quickly, and that's going to be difficult.
Yeah, at least do a Carl Stanley.
Yeah, hey, he could do it. It'd be amazing to watch him do it. It was so, we all know what it's like doing that because we're all idiot amateurs, and we kind of I can make this shot. But that was a really bad error to make on not just chipping out of the bunker.
55-1 Glover, 90-1 Fratelli. Fratelli, 90-1. He was, I think it was 140-something in the FedEx Cup that year. He was He was 154 heading into this, Fratelli. So he was losing his... It was his maiden PGA Tour year. He was losing his status if he didn't do something. That kind of tallies in with one of my bets this year on Fratelli. He was a well-known DP World Tour winner, as we know. Good driver of the golf ball, streaky putter. And that's kind of where I'm at. Someone that can hit the ball a decent way, gain strokes off the tee. And I've read a lot of quotes here basically saying, if you can hit the ball positively, hit plenty of fairways, get the ball down there, it then becomes just a pure putting contest. So I'm kind of in that space. We've also got... forget about Michael Kim. DeChambeau 50-1, Ryan Moore 25-1. Past seven renewals, 93-1. Overall average going back to 2010, 66-1. So I'm fishing in deeper waters this week. The most logical player that I saw out of all of this, the one that fitted the stats, the one is it, you know, it's a rarity, isn't it, to find, well, it's a rarity in a field like this to find a guy that's a great driver and a decent, statistically strong putter. Someone that's consistent-ish with the putter. The only guy I could find in this field that ticked both of those boxes was Patrick Rogers, and it scares me to death. And I know that he's going to be the most backed player of the week. And I know that his caddy and his agent and everyone's going to tell him, and he's going to shoot 79 in the first round. But I could not resist. And I know he's on my post-it note of shame. Couldn't.
This
will go one of two ways, and we know which way it will go. But it will go one of two ways. He'll either be absolutely abysmal, or he'll get his first PGA Tour victory this week.
Steve, you're messing with forces far beyond your capabilities and powers. You're screwing with the post-it note system. Have you removed him off the post-it note, or have you just put a question mark beside
him? No, he's still there. He's sitting there above Adam Scott and below Luke List. Now, Luke List did win this year. He's still on there with Emiliano Grillo. He's also there with Brendan Todd, who's in this field. I just can't. Brendan Todd. But this, so the thing is, you have to look at these things, and you have to think logically, and try and take away preconceived ideas. But Rogers, and he's finished second here in the past, but he's a good putter in the hole main, and he can drive the ball. So I'm on him. So yeah, miscut wins. He's gonna be the tidal wave this week. It's just I saw it all on Twitter last night over from our friends in North America. A lot of them are going to be all over him like a rash.
He's going to finish like double bogey bogey to miss the places by one.
Well, he might finish 13. Double bogey bogey to start, Barry. Let's cross that bridge first.
You're bringing imbalance to the markets by betting on him, but also leaving him on the post-it note. I'm afraid for what will happen.
I used Paul's fantastic strokes gained analysis. He's in this field at this course, third for off the tee, seventh for putting, tenth for strokes gained total. If I actually hadn't put him up, I mean, I'm ready for the miscut, I'm ready for the tie 54th. But if I'd have not put him up and he'd have won, I'd have been jumping out the window. So he had to go in, Rogers. The one I really, really like, not that I don't like Rogers, but Cam Davis. Second going into the weekend last week, fell away. A winner at the Rocket Mortgage last year, similar kind of old styley course. Likes playing upstate, likes playing in this Midwest area. Trending. Hits the ball a long way. Wide fairways this week, or wider. He tends to be errant, but he's a good putter, Cam Davis. I've got him 56 last week, and then since the Masters, he went 46 at the Masters, third at Harbortown. There's a good link between Harbortown and this. Miscut Wells Fargo, seventh at Colonial, 53rd at Memorial. So he's got a couple of top tens in his last five. Cam Davis, I'm on 1.5 points each way, 40-1 with Ladbrokes. I then moved, I don't know, I've ended up with 40-1 on this guy. There's 55s out there with Betfred. If Betfred could actually get their market out before sort of 6 o'clock, it would help on a Monday. But yeah, I take the 55, snap your hand off for that. Adam Svensson, a Canadian, actually played here in his rookie year when he was awful, 2018-19 season, finished. He was way out of his depth back then. 18th at PGA West, 15th at TPC Twin Cities, which I think can also correlate to here because that's up in Minnesota. This, don't forget, is Illinois. He's 15th here on that. He was 18th here in his rookie season. He's just playing some good stuff, Svensson. He can't putt, that's his issue, but actually the putter's warming. 45th at the Memorial, 21st at the RBC Canadian Open and 25th last week at the Travelers. He fired in a 66-64 in Hartford last week, across Friday, Saturday. And he's had five straight positive weeks with the putter. As we often say, I think you look at Svensson, Canadian, grew up on the Canadian Tour. He's a three-time winner on the Corn Ferry. So it's not as if the guy can't win. Three-time winner on the Corn Ferry. Two of those were last season. And he also won the Nationwide Children's Hospital Championship in Columbus, Ohio last year. Columbus, Ohio. So basically where it's just down the road from where they play the Memorial at Jack's Place. So Ohio, kind of Midwest-y, a winner there. That tournament has been won in the past by English, Thomas, Scotty Scheffler, Fowler, Cam Smith and Cam Young have all finished runner-up. It's a high-quality event on the Corn Ferry. I think Svensson's a high-quality player. If the putter remains positive and his standard strokes gain tee to green gained there, he'll be a definite runner and rider, I think, Svensson. I've gone for Martin Laird, 50-1. Now, Laird's funny, isn't he? He can get very streaky, Martin Laird. And one thing you say about the guy, he knows how to win. And in this field, a four-time PGA Tour winner could be worthy of a weight of gold. It's still, he's a four-time winner. Two of those have been at Las Vegas. Now, we know the Shriners Open. That's a birdie fest. He's won that at 19-under. He's won that at 23-under in 2020. They're bent grass greens. This kind of course length, par 71. I know it's at altitude. That year, he beat Cantlay, Siwoo Kim and Zalatoris in regulation, and then he beat Matthew Wolf in a playoff. So a decent field always at the Shriners. He can win. There's plenty in this field that can't. And he just... I've put this in the thing, in the preview. He's 30th for tee to green this season on the PGA Tour. That is the best in this field. Clearly, 124th in the FedEx Cup. So you go through the algorithm, 30th tee to green, 124 FedEx Cup, bloke can't putt. And then last week, all of a sudden, he's shooting a 63 to start at River Highlands, a 66 on Saturday, and he goes into the weekend in fifth spot. So he's starting to make some putts with an ice cold putter. So I think Laird fits here. He's had three starts, 29th, 37th, 28th, so never missed the cut. So, yep. On a streaky scorer, I think Martin Laird in this, who needs to do something if he wants to get into the playoffs, because he's right on the bubble. I think Laird's a decent shout. And just going down this Fratelli route, Paul.
Yep.
I know that you and I have been talking about this player for a while. Matt Wallace is in desperate need of something. 143 in the FedEx Cup. But he's just starting to percolate. He's not Hao Tong Li but he's another player that was fringy Ryder Cup, a perennial winner on the DP World Tour. Went to the States, did okay, played well last year, made the FedEx Cup playoffs, established himself, and he's again fallen off a cliff. But you're just starting to see now, fifth at the Dutch Open, he was third going into the weekend, first going into Sunday. Then since then, 18th at the Porsche European Open, which he didn't have his golf clubs in Hamburg. They never made it to Germany. Mm-hmm. And then he's gone over to the PGA Tour to try and get into that top 125, try and keep his playing privileges. Very, very important. 35th at the Canadian Open, shot a 66 on Friday. He was in 8th spot heading into the weekend. And then 46th at the Travelers Championship last week. He finished with a 66, which was in the top 10 scoring. So he's got a bit of momentum coming across to the John Deere Classic. I thought 80-1 with 8 places with Ladbrokes was a decent shout on a player of Matt Wallace's ilk.
Yep.
You can take him, the biggest price now, 110-1 with Bet365, 100-1 with William Hill 6 places or Unibet.
Yeah, I think it did him a bit of good, didn't it, coming back and back over and playing on the DP World Tour, gave him a little bit of confidence. And as you say, to finish top 20 without, it was just an emergency set of clubs that they had to fly over to him in Germany. That's not bad going at all. So yeah, there's an improvement there. There's certainly a
he needs forward. To do well, doesn't he? He's got a desire. He can't just muck about. He needs results and quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He keeps alternating as well. You know, sometimes his weakness has been off the tee. He's been negative on 4 events off the tee. But here, that might get negated with these wider fairways. The approach game's good. And he's putting positively every single week. 3.3, 1.3, 1.3. Last week, 2.4.
Yep.
So if he can hit enough greens, keep out of trouble off the tee, I can see Wallace putting a score together this week.
Yeah. When he's at his best, he's a very good driver of the golf ball. You know, if you'd boil down his key strengths, he's a good putter, he's a really good driver. And if one or other isn't quite firing, then he's not there. But if his approach play is good, it's only going to take a good week from off the tee. And perhaps, you know, these players can find things, they can work on things in practice and get things sorted out.
He was quite preeminent in my 8-week analysis. I mean, he's in the top 18 for total over the last 8 weeks. And he's also in the top 20 for tee to green in this field. So there's enough there to like at 80-1, 100-1. He's better than that, isn't he? We know that.
Yeah.
So those are my... I mean, it is. It's the John Deere Classic. So, you know, you can put anyone up if you want. I've got Wallace at 80s, Laird at 50s, Svensson at 40s. You can get him up to 55s. Davis at 40s. I've got Rogers. Patrick Rogers. What am I doing? 33-1. Those are my 5. Over to you guys.
I've got a couple of longer prices. You got any, Barry, that you fancy?
Yeah, I also landed on Svensson. I can't add further.
I just think because since he's left the Bermuda behind and he's gone up to more upstate green, you know, all of a sudden the putting's not as bad as it is can be. He seems to be very bent grass positive.
Yeah, well, he wouldn't have had that much Bermuda growing up in Canada, right?
You got it.
So, yeah, I'm there with you on that. And then I'm into the triple digits after that. Do you want to go for one first, Paul, or?
No, you carry on and I'll go with mine.
I've gone for Chris Goderup.
Our old friend.
Yeah.
I absolutely mullered his surname last week, didn't I?
You did. Yeah. The Freudian slip, Steve. Some man for them. He's had a couple of decent performances recently. Finished a little birdie last week. And just having a jump into his stats, his strokes gained putting, if he had enough rounds to qualify to be on the stats board on the PGA Tour, he would be 27th in strokes gained putting. And he's very positive for strokes gained approach to the green as well. So I'm just going to... This guy's feeling good. He's on the up and coming. So, and this is a tournament where he's not up against the cream of the crop on the PGA Tour.
Far from it.
He might... Yeah, exactly. He might slip into the... I've gone for the extended... I've gone for 12 places. So he might slip in there.
He was 25th for putting last week, full field. So, yeah, putting nicely. Got her up as he heads here. You could put any of these names up and no one in their right mind can argue. I'll tell you one that caught my mind. He's been playing well because he's coming to the end of his medical extension. Is Kelly Craft. He's playing some nice stuff at the moment. And talking of medical extensions, I know one of Paul's at a big price.
Yeah, well, I've backed two. First one I backed, you mentioned him last week, actually, is Hayden Buckley, 125 to 1.
Yeah, Buckley, yeah.
Seven places, 125, so I took. He was 14th at the US Open, which was a bit of an eye catcher. I didn't back him last week. I thought it might take a little while to recover, and I've back in this week to give him a chance. He was 6th for strokes gained tee to green at the US Open, 9th for strokes gained around the green. So some good numbers coming out of that. Hasn't won on the PGA Tour yet, but he's won on the Canadian Tour, won on the Corn Ferry Tour. Started the year off well, didn't he? 4th at the Sanderson Farms. 8th at the Shriners, 12th at the Sony Open as well. And if you look at his recent performances, his putting, strokes gained putting, is trending forwards as well. So if he can continue that trend this week, if you look at Lucas Glover, he probably only needs to gain 3 or 4 strokes putting over the course of the week to give himself a chance. And I think he's capable of doing that. So back Buckley. The other one is William McGirt at 200 to 1. I backed 8 places.
End of his medical extension, pops up top 10 last week. Yeah.
He did, yeah. I mean, that's the first top 10. He was 8th, wasn't he? Yeah, first top 10 since 2018 that I counted. And as you say, there's been some medical issues there, but he's, needs must. He's got to play well if he's going to convert on that medical extension. 5.5 strokes gained putting last week. If you look at it, going back in the recent enough past, when he has been playing, he tends to have played better in alternate events, so these lower grade ones. And yes, this isn't an alternate event, but it's not a great deal.
It feels like it.
Beyond there. Yeah, it does a bit, doesn't it? It's not a great deal better quality, to be honest. If you look, he won the Memorial back in 2016. Got a couple of runner-up finishes at the Canadian Open, which is always a low-scoring affair as well. So. While the putter's working as it was last week, I thought worth taking a small punt on McGirt at 200 to 1. But yeah, that's the only two that I've backed so far.
I think that's us, chaps.
Indeed. Enjoy your JP McManus Prime next week, Barry.
Yeah, I won't be here for the Scottish Open preview pod, but just rest assured I'll be hanging out in a dare manner, enjoying myself.
Yeah. Enjoy, it should be good. And hopefully we'll get the Open Championship preview pod done later next week as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I updated the St. Andrews research preview, so that's worth looking at the website. I'll put a link to it in the description as well. Just looking through the course at St. Andrews, what kind of agronomy. I mean, it's a pretty stellar winners list, isn't it? You got Tiger, Louis Oosthuizen, who kind of, that win gets better over time, because at the time he was 250 to 1. But then Zach Johnson. There's a few links there to Augusta National for whatever reason. Yes, so worth looking into some trends around the Open Championship, which is only 2 weeks away now.
Yep.
Next week, yeah, Scottish Open. We've also got the Barbasol Championship in Kentucky. I hope your bets go well, gentlemen.
Yeah, best of luck, guys.
You too. Except for Rogers. I think you're messing with forces, Steve. I'm not impressed by this, but listen, we'll see if I'm wrong. Or
look,
if you're
Barry,
not. Or if you turn to dust.
Well, he's never left the Post-it note, and he sure as well won't be featuring in any more of my tips in 2022, I can assure you of that.
Yeah. Unless he wins.
After the inevitable miscut.
He might surprise.
But that's the way we rock and roll.
Yeah.
I hope the listeners' bets go well, and DK teams will be back next week. See you later.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system, the golf.